In the first 24 hours after the Ferguson grand jury decided not to indict, Facebook exploded with more than 11 million relevant posts. Add in the responses to the Eric Garner case, and some reports estimate that this conversation has been in the top 10 events on Facebook of all time, a giant national town meeting online. But some Facebook users have noticed that their pages have been infected by what you might call an app that outs racism among your friends. Some people's comments haven't seemed like friends at all, in fact. Here's sports commentator and familiar Takeaway voice, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen.
I have a lot of white men on my Facebook feed that feel justified in telling black people how to react to murders by police and who also vehemently defend the officers' actions. On their own pages, they have some of the most vile and racist posts and propaganda. I went to school with some of these individuals, and as such, they are part of the tapestry of my life and community. I will not erase them from my feed. If you are my friend and want to know how pervasive the ignorance is amongst white men in this country, I suggest you read some of the things they are posting. Seriously, though, what are they so angry about?
That's Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, sports commentator, talking about what's happened on his Facebook page. New Tech City podcast host Manoush Zomorodi has taken a look at this explosion of speech and how people are reacting to it. Manoush, welcome.
Great to be here, John.
So is Ibrahim saying, I want people to see this, or is he erasing his friends and wishing that they hadn't put those comments down there? He's emotionally ambivalent here.
Exactly. And I think that that's the question a lot of people have is like, how do you deal with something like that? Do you just erase those people, unfriend them, take yourself out of the conversation, say, I will not engage? Or do you sort of try to talk to them, make sense with them? It's very rare. Social psychologists know this. To win an argument on Facebook or anywhere else, people just sort of buckle down and stay with their point of view. So that's really tough for Ibrahim. I mean, some of these comments, at best, they come across as insensitive. At worst, completely racist. So here's another one that Ibrahim told me about.
There's a classic comment that has come up in a lot of different places from mostly white members on my Facebook feed that says, well, more black people kill black people than white people kill black people. On that day, my emotions with that were just, it just broke my heart.
And John, another listener, we've gotten a lot of listener responses because we're working on this episode. Jason Gonzalez, he wrote us about a Facebook discussion on race that started sort of fine and then devolved into really tasteless memes being posted. And he made the decision to just unfriend the people who posted it, take himself out of the conversation.
Now, really, the question here is, how can you tell the difference between a conversation that is productive and candid and a conversation that's just become a kind of graffiti wall?
Well, absolutely. And I think this sort of goes to the question of where Facebook fits into this sort of conversation in general. Sometimes this is an unwelcome surprise. We don't always talk about race to our family members or people we see every day, right? And so it sort of comes out as a shock that Auntie Edna feels this way and you have to see her next week at family dinner, right? And so for many people also, the fact that these conversations are not happening face-to-face, it changes the dynamic. It gives them sort of a freedom to maybe be crasser. And here's another way that Ibrahim puts it.
You look for something witty or you want to say something brilliant or smart. You want to say something cutting or the right thing. But then what ends up happening on Facebook is that you just like vomit, right? It's unedited, emotional barrage. And, you know, spiritual people will tell you when you're about to get into an argument, that's when you should stop talking. That's when you should sit down and stop screaming and collect your thoughts and collect your breath. But Facebook gives you the space to just let it out.
Do psychologists say that what you keep in is actually the truth, or what you keep in an emotional moment or let out in the case of Facebook is not the truth? It's some distortion of reality.
The truth is hard to get to, John, but I did talk to Shannon Rao. She's a social psychologist at Benedictine University, and she did a study into how people respond to racist messages on Facebook by sending different messages from a fake white man to a group of white Facebook users. And frequent Facebook users largely disagreed with an overt racist message that said whites are the supreme race. So yay, phew, right? But they didn't disagree with a less obviously racist message, one that said whites are the most repressed group in America today. Here's Shannon Rao.
They will kind of reject very extreme messages, but when messages are kind of more subtle and are more in line with what they would already agree with, they can be pretty powerful. That those messages are out there, and even if they have kind of a racist component to it, if it helps kind of give fuel to their original existing attitudes, that they can be very influential.
Of course, the FBI has discovered this, you know, over decades. I mean, when you say, hey, let's join our own Nazi party, folks, everyone goes, there's obviously a cop online here. But when you try to subtly sort of tug at the heartstrings of people, then maybe they do come along. I mean, this isn't an organized, you know, white supremacist operation. These are right. just people who are digital pedestrians.
Right. And so we wanted to talk to people on the ground, particularly in St. Louis, where this is really sort of the epicenter of these sort of heated discussions. And I talked to a social service worker with the National Conference for Community and Justice. He's in St. Louis. His name is DeWitt Campbell. And he told me that finding and affirming common ground is the only way to move these discussions, these debates forward. And that the beauty of social media is that you can take a break. You can walk away. You can calm down, unlike at the family dinner table. So don't respond immediately online and really listen. And that's what Ibrahim is trying to do, too. He says he's proud of the diversity in his life and he doesn't want to sacrifice those relationships.
Well, but how do you back off from something? If you were to say, I mean, that's really why people should tune into your podcast to get an answer to the question, how do you back off if I said something?
I think it's saying, like, I hear you. I hear, just pretend they say that that person is the most important person in your life. You truly respect them and find one little kernel that you overlap with, that you find common ground with. And then take a deep breath and take it from there.
Keep the conversation going.
Right.
Manush Zomorodi is the host of the podcast New Tech City. A great listen for anyone who wants to get a handle on moral issues around science and technology. Subscribe to New Tech City on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, Manush.
Thanks, Sean.